The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. We've got a great show for you today. I'm your host, Herschel Finnan. It's been a wonderful weekend so far. The weather has been perfect, and I've been telling people if you can talk about the weather and that's like your main focus, well, I guess life is really pretty good. Even though there are some things going on, we'll talk about that in the news coming up soon. Horrible tragedies that happened over the weekend. In this half hour of the show, we're going to feature an interview with Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Weinreib, who is in charge of the Koren Talmud Bavli. You might want to know, what's that? It's the latest, newest, greatest thing to have hit the world. You want to stay tuned for this one. Listen to this one, boy. Let me tell you. We're still doing a cappella music because it's the 3 weeks when we commemorate the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. We've got the portion of the week, which is the portion of Devarim, the beginning of the book of Deuteronomy, an awesome Hasidic story. Hopefully we'll have time for. Before we do anything else, let's get to that news. Five Israelis and one Bulgarian bus driver were killed and over 20 others injured, some seriously, in a terror attack on an Israeli tourist bus in Burgas, Bulgaria. A Hezbollah terrorist bomber boarded one of the three buses carrying Israeli tourists, detonated an explosive vest. 44 people were on the bus at the time. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu blamed Iran for the bombing. Netanyahu said that in the past months, Iran attempted to attack Israelis in Thailand, India, Kenya, and Cyprus. The United Nations Security Council unanimously condemned the attack. Bulgarian media says the terrorist was identified as Mehdi Mahmoud Ghazali, a member of the Global Jihad. According to unconfirmed reports, Ghazali was arrested in 2009 in southern Pakistan together with his wife and several other people and had been held at the United States Guantanamo Bay detainment camp in Cuba from 2002 to 2004. In other news, Israeli security forces exposed a terrorist cell that operated from the village of Hizma north of Jerusalem and attempted to kidnap an Israeli soldier three times. The plan was to abduct an IDF soldier, hold him in a secret apartment or cave near Hizma, and then hand him over in turn for money to relatives of a senior Arab terrorist who was incarcerated in Israeli jails. The relative would then use the Israeli soldier as a bargaining chip to gain the release of their relative. Changing the tone a bit, Germany's lower house of parliament passed a resolution to protect the religious circumcision of infant boys after a district court ban outraged Muslims and Jews and sparked emotional debate in the country. Mitt Romney will be in Israel next Sunday, Tisha B'Av. Romney and Netanyahu will be attending a $50,000 plate dinner 1 hour after the fast ends. Romney and Netanyahu interned together while attending Harvard. Authorities in Hungary arrested Ladislo Shizik Shatari, the world's most wanted Nazi war criminal. He was tracked down this week by Britain's The Sun newspaper after decades in hiding. Shizik Shatari is accused of sending 16,000 Jews to Auschwitz death camp while serving as a police commander in charge of a Jewish ghetto in Slovakia. Shizik Shatari is 97 years old. The number of available jobs in Israel rose in June by 17% over May and 7% over June last year. Israel's unemployment rate fell, listen to this, to -3%. The find of the week, an ancient harbor considered the largest and most important of the land of Israel in the Hellenistic period, was discovered in Akko. The harbor dates back 2,300 years to the time of the Second Temple. Some sad news. The great Torah sage, Rabbi Yosef Shalom Eliashev, passed away this Wednesday in Shaare Tzedek Hospital in Jerusalem after fighting a long bout of pneumonia. The 102-year-old Rabbi Eliashev, who headed the worldwide Lithuanian yeshiva movement, was considered one of the leading Torah sages of the generation. He was buried on Wednesday in Jerusalem's Mount of Olives. The U.S. House of Representatives approved legislation by voice vote to reaffirm U.S. strategic and military ties with Israel. The bill restates the U.S. commitment to supply Israel with arms to defend itself and pledges to fight anti-Israel resolutions at the United Nations. And finally, last piece of news, a new high-speed Beersheva-Tel Aviv rail link began this week. The ride is now, from the two cities, 55 minutes. Cutting the time by more than a third. Highway 6 is scheduled to connect Tel Aviv to Beersheva in 3 years. The Israelis are also considering using an Air Force base near Beersheva as an alternative international airport to Ben Gurion. All in all, things are looking good for the Negev. That's the south of Israel. And that's the news. Do you know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile. Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have on the line Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Weinreb, who is the Executive Vice President Emeritus of the Orthodox Rabbis and is also the Editor-in-Chief of what we're going to be talking about, the new Koren Talmud Bavli, the Rabbi Edin Steinsaltz commentary thereof. How are you today, Rabbi Weinreb?
I'm fine, Baruch Hashem. I'm speaking to you from Jerusalem, from Yerushalayim, where it is about 45 minutes away from Shabbat.
Okay, fair enough. And we're taping this. Let's go back up. We're going to give a little basic, since many people who are listening to the Jewish Hour have no idea what the word Talmud means. So if you can, give us a concise definition of what is the Talmud, Rabbi Weinreb, and its significance.
Okay, well, the one of the basics of the Jewish tradition is that there are two Torahs. There's the written Torah, which is written on parchment, which we see in the Ark in the synagogue. And then there's the oral Torah, which is the interpretation and expansion and development and commentary upon the written Torah. The largest single work in the oral Torah is known as Talmud. And it consists of many, many volumes printed. It's usually printed in 20 large volumes. And it is a commentary on every single aspect of Jewish life imaginable. History, ritual, legend, Jewish law, etc. And it's the basis of all further development of rabbinic commentary and Jewish law and practice.
Okay, that's great. I like that concise definition. So Jewish people study the Talmud regularly, on a regular basis, then you would say.
Well, all Jewish people are supposed to study as much Torah as they possibly have time for. Most people who study Torah combine the study of a little bit of written Torah. They learn the weekly portion. Perhaps they learn some of the scriptures, some of the prophets. But they also allow time for study some of the oral Torah. And, of course, they then dip into the Talmud. What we've seen in recent years, it actually goes back to the 1920s, but it's become much more popular in the past 10 or 15 years. And that is what's called Daf Yomi, which means a daily page, in which people undertake studying the Talmud one page a day for as long as it takes to complete the Talmud. Doing it at that pace, there are 2,000-plus pages in the standard edition of the Talmud, so it takes about 7.5 years to study the Talmud day by day, day in and day out. We're about in a week or two to complete that cycle, and tens of thousands of Jews all over the world will be celebrating the Siyum, which means the completion of the entire Talmud, which is a 7.5-year project. And believe me, as you can imagine, and your listeners can imagine, it takes a great deal of commitment to wake up early every day or stay up a little bit later and devote an hour or more to studying the daily page.
Okay, now let's talk about the Daf Yomi a little bit. We say to study one page. Now, people are thinking, well, there's this book. Okay, everybody's got books at home. And all the books have pages. And so they're going to read one page of this book. So the people could read the page of a book in a couple minutes. What's the idea of a page a day of Talmud?
Well, first of all, a page in a Talmud really means what the average reader of a general book would call two pages, because there's two sides to the page.
Okay, so it takes 6 minutes.
You turn it over. So it's really two pages, just for starters. But a page of Talmud, and of course I urge all listeners to take a glance at a picture or actual volume of Talmud, and you see what the page involves. The page involves a central text, which is no easy read. It's not the kind of thing you just curl up on your sofa and read it before bedtime. It's the kind of reading that takes concentration, it takes study, it's a dialogue, it's an argument. The arguments are usually complex and sophisticated. So when you say read a page, here you're talking about really studying a page. Rather than compare it to a book that you can easily read a page in a few minutes, I would compare it to a science textbook or for perhaps a mathematics textbook. For there, studying two pages a day is no easy matter. It takes a lot of concentration and thought and analysis. So that's kind of the answer to that question.
Our guest today is Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Weinreb, who is the editor-in-chief of the new edition of the Koren Talmud Bavli. We reported about 6 months ago on the Jewish Hour, we always have like some sort of cute story which ends off the news, that a delegation from Korea came to Israel, I don't know how long ago, and wanted to know why Jews are so smart. And they came up with the conclusion that it was because they study the Talmud, and then began study. Then had the Talmud translated into Korean, where it is now part of the curriculum in many Korean schools. Would you say that studying the Talmud, Rabbi Weinreb, makes a person smart, or the person has to be smart to study Talmud?
First of all, the whole South Korean story, of course, I read about it too, but I tend to take these kind of stories with a grain of salt.
Yeah, it was just a cute story.
Knowing how hard it is to translate the Talmud into English, and how many people are involved in the translation, I'm not quite sure that it was really done.
I actually saw it for sale on Amazon.com. Yeah. So
really?
Yes, I don't know how many volumes they translated, but anyway. But in answer to the question, do you have to be smart?
There's no question that studying Talmud sharpens the mind. That's not the reason that we study Talmud. We study Talmud because we believe, ultimately, if a person wants to know, a Jewish person wants to know God's will, what God expects from us, the way to do that is to study Torah in general and to study Talmud in particular. And that's not an intellectual exercise. It's much more of a religious commitment. However, there's no question that the nature of the Talmud is such that it requires a lot of concentration and a lot of focus and a lot of thought and thinking things over again and again, a lot of argument, a lot of subtleties, a lot of fine distinctions, and there's no question that that sharpens the mind. There's no question about it. Whether it will sharpen the mind of a person who of another religion, you know, it's hard to say. I think part of why it sharpens the mind of a Jewish person is because it's not merely something he's reading or she's reading, but it's something that's being read to act upon, to live out in your life. So you give it a kind of an extra type of serious concentration when you study it.
Okay. Thank you. The Koren Talmud is brand new. Volume 1 just came out. And it's going to be, is it going to take 7.5 years for it to be, or 7 years for it to be printed in its totality as the cycle of the one page a day progresses? You'll be like one book volume ahead of them? Is that the plan?
Our plan is at least to be able to stay ahead of the Daf Yomi schedule. So at this point, the first volume is already out there. It's for sale in local Jewish bookstores already. And that's been out, it will have been available a full 6-8 weeks before people begin to study it in the Daf Yomi calendar. We have the second volume, which is the first half of the next tractate, which is Shabbat. That's at the printers now and will be available in the market in a matter of weeks, which means a good 2 months before the calendar. What we hope is to keep up that pace, at least, if not beat it. So our best-case scenario is if we can get all 41 volumes printed in about 4 years, but we certainly hope to do it within the 7.5-year span.
Okay. Now, tell the listeners, and you know, it would be really good if this was television. We could show people on the page, but we don't. There is a website if people want to see what the page looks like, and we'll talk about that soon. There, in the 1930s, Onsino put out an English edition of the Talmud. Back in the 80s, Arscroll put out an edition of the Talmud, complete in 72 volumes. Tell us the nuance of the Koran Talmud Bavli, please, Rabbi Weinreb.
Okay. Well, the when you say that it would be good to see it in alive, to see the picture of it, and you can do that on the Koren website, which is Koren, K-O-R-E-N, pub, P-U-B for publisher.com. You can see actual photos of it. It's an aesthetic masterpiece. It's really beautiful. It's in color. It has illustrations. It has charts, maps, etc., in full color. It actually comes in two sizes. The larger size is in full color. The smaller size, which is more of a portable edition, we call it the Daf Yomi edition because it's much easier to transport, is not in color. But the layout is something very, very different from any of the previous editions of the Talmud because in the page that is the facsimile of the original Vilna edition, everything is punctuated with vowels, with nekudot. So even a beginning reader of Hebrew can make sense of the text and the various commentaries on the classic page. At the other end of the book is a translation, where the text is repeated, again with vowels, so it's easier to read. But the translation and the text there is spaced in such a way that instead of being faced with a block of text, you have each question separate in a separate paragraph with white space between it. Each line of dialogue is distinct. Each answer is distinct. If there are several answers, every answer is a separate, distinct paragraph. And in the margin, you have a tremendous array of other information, supplemental information, biographies of the various rabbis and various people who are mentioned in the Talmud, kings, Gentile kings, kings of Persia, kings of Rome, etc. You have biographical material. You have historical background. You have an exploration of the language. The Talmud is written in Aramaic, but there are many, many words in the Talmud which are Greek or Latin or Persian or Arabic. Ancient form of Arabic, and you have commentary on that. You have various notes about what's called the flora and the fauna of the Talmud. The Talmud mentions various plants and trees and fruits and vegetables, and what we have is all of these species identified in their Latin terminology, often with photographs of these various plants or animals. So it's the whole page just comes alive graphically and visually in a way that's completely different from any previous version of the Talmud or any translation of the Talmud. The other thing is that the translation, the English translation, is based upon the Hebrew translation, which was done by Rabbi Steinsaltz over the past 45 years or more. He began his project translating the Talmud into modern Hebrew about 45 years ago. And he did this single-handedly over the years. All we're doing in terms of our translation is taking his translation and rendering it from modern Hebrew into American English. So that's just a bit of what makes it unique and different from any of the predecessors.
Okay. Now, so you can clarify something. When in translating this, did you translate it from the original language into English, or did you translate it from the Steinsaltz translation?
It's an English translation of the Steinsaltz translation of the Talmud.
Okay, so it's like two steps away from the original then? What'd you say?
It's two steps away from the original in that sense. It's a translation of Rabbi Steinsaltz's modern Hebrew. If a person can read and understand modern Hebrew, he does not need our translation. But the translation is made for the vast public that just understands English better than even contemporary Hebrew.
Okay. I'm actually very, very intrigued. Do you perchance have a copy of the Koran Talmud in front of you or near you?
Yes.
Okay. Would you mind doing, say, like the first line so that we can see what it is that you're talking about with, I don't know, we could spend a whole hour on it, but just...
Easily a whole hour, but I'll try to be very brief. I have in front of me actually a little booklet which we have available of a sample excerpt.
Mm-hmm.
And you can open it, if you imagine a book, you can open it from right to left as you would open a Hebrew book. When you do it that way, you have the classic page, but as I mentioned, with vowels, punctuation marks, question marks, quotation marks, etc. I won't go there right now. That's something to see. If you open it the way you would open up an English textbook, so of course you have the introductory pages, etc. But when the text begins, it begins with the very, very first Mishnah. The Mishnah is the core text of the Talmud, upon which the rest of the Talmud is an expansion. And the opening Mishnah of the entire Talmud begins really with the first mitzvah that a bar mitzvah boy does when he becomes bar mitzvah. As you know, and as I'm sure your audience knows, in the Jewish religion, the day begins at night. And the first mitzvah that nowadays that a person is obligated to do at night is to read the Kriyat Shema. He has to read those three paragraphs from the Torah, from the written Torah, which are part of every Siddur out there. But the Talmud begins with a discussion of, okay, that's the first thing we do at night. When exactly does night begin? It's a kind of a typical Talmudical question, trying to really define precisely those kinds of things that we take for granted. At what point does night begin, and when does that first mitzvah kick in? So that's kind of the opening line. And the Mishnah says, quote, I'm quoting now the English translation, from when, that is, from what time, does one recite Shema in the evening? And the answer is, a strange one, to a person who's new at this, from the time when the priests enter to partake of their terumah. Now, what's that all about? What priests are we talking about? What is terumah, etc.? So that's explained in the background notes. Terumah is the portion of a person's crop which he is biblically told to put aside and to give to the Kohen, to the priest. A Kohen has to consume that food which is his to eat as he chooses to eat it, but he has to eat it in a state of ritual purity. If he becomes impure, for example, he comes into contact with a dead rodent or whatever, so he goes to a mikveh, he goes to a body of water, immerses himself, and then when it becomes night, he can eat his terumah. The question is, when is night? The Mishnah does not answer it. It just says, well, it's night for Shema at the same time that it's night for the priest or the Kohen to be able to begin his new day and eat terumah. And it's not further defined until the Talmud picks it up. The Talmud picks it up a few paragraphs later and makes it much clearer to a person who's not at all familiar with priests or terumah or Kriyat Shema, and simply says that it becomes night when the stars come out. When it's dark and stars become visible, that's when night begins. Of course, there's a complex discussion, how many stars, what kind of stars, et cetera, et cetera. But basically, Night begins when the stars come out, but that's a kind of a physical, scientific explanation with this definition of when night begins. But from a theological point of view, from the point of view of religious behavior, night begins for many, many different aspects of the Jewish religion, ranging from when the priests can eat truma, which is something which doesn't apply nowadays, basically, to when does a person begin each night to be obligated to recite those three paragraphs from the Siddur, and that's something that's very, very contemporary and applies to every observant Jew tonight, as well as every other day of the year.
Okay, that's wonderful. That's really, our guest has been, we've got to wrap this up over here. You got to get going. We've got to move on to the next segment. Our guest has been Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Weinreb, is the Executive Vice President Emeritus for the Union of Orthodox Rabbis, and is currently the Editor-in-Chief of the Koren Talmud Bavli. Yes, you're going to say something.
Yeah, I was going to say the organization is not the Orthodox Jewish Rabbis, it's the Orthodox Jewish Congregation.
Jewish Orthodox Congregation,
the Orthodox
excuse me.
Union. Or the OU.
But
the OU is not involved in this particular publication. This is something that, as emeritus, have a little more time on my hands than I used to, and I agreed to work with Koren Publishers on this new project.
Right, and if people want to know about Koren Publishing, I remember one of the first books that I bought back when I became religious when I was 17 was a tome called The Jerusalem Bible, which was published by Koren, and they told me that it was the authoritative translation. I actually haven't found one better yet, to tell you the truth. So Koren is definitely reputable in what it does. The book is absolutely wonderful. I give it 5 thumbs up and suggest everybody run immediately to go buy it and start learning it. And my wife and I have started learning it a page at a time already. We're chomping at the bit. Well, thank you so much, Rabbi Weinreb, for sharing this with us, and take care.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we're going
to
take...
Good luck to you.
Thank you so much. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
The Art Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park is something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. That was awesome. Wow. Now, I really do recommend that you run right out immediately and get yourself a copy of the Koren Talmud Bavli. It's available wherever Jewish books are sold. It's also on Amazon. It's also on the Koren, CORENPUB, Koren Publishers website, korenpub.com. And go start learning and get smarter. We have, for your listening pleasure, we have 2 songs that we're going to be playing today because I'm also be making a siyum, and I'll be explaining that when we get to it. 2 songs that are liturgical, the words are liturgical, and I've often maintained that these 2 pieces of prayer, which appear in the daily prayer book, can be sung to any tune. And these 2 songs prove it. So the first one we're going to do, which is right now, is this is Bitachon. And we're queuing that up a little bit. Yeah, you got that? Good. Ready to go. And... we're going to be doing a piece called Adon Olam. This is liturgical, just means master of the world.
Chiropractic healthcare offers patients the advantage of a safe and natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. People of all ages, including children, benefit from chiropractic's unique approach to health. Call area code 248-557-1818 today to find out how chiropractic can benefit your family. At the Solomon Chiropractic Center, we especially love children. All kids should have their spines checked periodically throughout their crucial growing years. Growth on a crooked foundation will create a crooked spine and become harder to correct later in life. Kids love to get adjusted at the Solomon Chiropractic Center. And hey, moms, did you know that chiropractic offers a safe, drug-free approach to helping with the many pains women often get during and after pregnancy? We even have special tables which open up so pregnant women can lay on their stomachs. We treat moms, dads, children, and grandparents with arthritic pains, neck pains, back pain, and headaches. People of all ages, including kids, benefit from chiropractic. Come experience the natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. Stop living in pain. Call area code 248-557-1818 today for a free consultation at the Solomon Chiropractic Center to discuss you and your family's health needs. Remember, 557-1818. That's 557-HIGH-HIGH.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale. Herschel Fidman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We are currently in the 9 days. These are the most severe days on the Jewish calendar. And the expression is Mishenichnas Av, the 9 days of Av. When Av enters, Memaitin B'Simcha, it says decrease joy. Now, Lubavitch, we read a little differently. It says, Mishnichnas Adar, Mishnichnas Av, when Av enters, Memaitin. We decrease the suffering of the month, Bisimcha, with joy. And one of the ways that this is accomplished, it says that learning, as we're talking about learning Talmud, for example, is a wonderful experience. It's so wonderful that on the holiday of Tisha B'Av, which commemorates the destruction of the temple, we're not allowed to learn Talmud because it makes a person feel good. So they're supposed to feel miserable. But we'll talk about that next week because it happens to be next Sunday. So we make these Siyumim, they're called, which means the completion of a tractate of Talmud. And this will be the 17th year that we at the Jewish Hour have made a Siyum during the 9 days so that you too can be happy. Now, so in order to do this, I had to have learned the entire tractate sometime during the course of the last year. And we picked last year, just out random, there are 35 different books to choose from. We picked Temura, which deals with sacrifices. A person wants to sacrifice an animal. He says, okay, I'm sacrificing this animal. And for whatever reason, he says, I'm not sacrificing this animal. I'm going to sacrifice that animal. And this book, which is 41 pages, which is 82 pages if you count both sides, with commentaries, discusses the various ramifications of making such statements. So at the end of this day, the end of this tome, which doesn't talk about, one of the things says you talk about burning the sacrifices and this way of getting rid of things which are not wanted. So it says, Tanya, we learn, Kol HaNisrafim, anything which is deemed, judged, that it has to be burned. There are many things where you're not allowed to have any benefit from them, and they have to be reduced to ashes. Ephraim Mutter, you're allowed to use the ashes. You can make cinder block out of them. You can use them for compost or fertilizer or whatever else people need to use ashes for. Because if it has to be burned, that means that the thing itself is forbidden to have any benefit from it. You can't give it away. You can't sell it. You can't use it. Never mind eat it. You can't, if it's an animal, you can't kill it and slaughter it and feed the meat to your dogs. Nothing. It has to be burnt. But once it's burnt now, what it is no longer exists. It's not that thing anymore. It is now a pile of ashes. With two exceptions. Chutz me'afer asherah ve'afer ha'ektesh. The exceptions being a tree which was planted for the purpose of idolatrous worship, and the ashes of the leftovers from the sacrifices, that those are la'olam aser. And it can't be used for anything whatsoever. They're totally and completely forbidden. You can't have any benefit from them. They have to be taken and disposed of in such a way that you can't do anything with them. So when we learn that when we are burning the Asherah, we're burning this tree which is used for an idolatrous purpose, is because we don't want to have anything that even smacks a little bit of idolatry, but hegdish ein lo betela olamis. But something which was used as a sacrifice can never lose its identity at all. Ketani miha afer hegdish lo olam aser. But we learn that it's always going to be forbidden. So Rami Bar Chama, kigayin enafa deleka ma'atzi hegdish malaha. He says, what is this talking about? It says, for example, you know, we're going to clarify this whole business, as Rabbi Weinreb was talking about before, that, for example, wood spontaneously combusted. For some reason, somehow, a pile of wood which was dedicated for use in the temple suddenly caught fire. Somebody was grabbing a smoke and threw the butt onto a pile of wood. Who knows what was going on over there? Since we don't know how the thing got burned, so its wood, its ashes can be could be designated then for a mundane purpose. But Rav Shmaya Amar, Kitanya Hamas Nisan, what is this talking about when we say that you can't use the ashes? Is Betrumas Hadeshin, is specifically the ashes which have been gathered after the sacrifices have been offered and collected into a huge pile, and every 60 or 70 years that pile was so big that they would get rid of half of it. Says the Olam Aser, that ash can have no benefit from it at all. They dispose of it in a place which cannot be used. The Tani Visamba Vanachas Asama Kulin Shemay Life he falls in it. Says it cannot be dispersed at all. Hadan Alech Yesh Bekushim Isbeach Vasilkalahum Asakta Tamura. We will come back to you sometime in the future, Masechta Tamura, and we're going to take a commercial break and we'll come back to you too. Don't go away. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Hello, this is Frank Lovasco with Lovasco Concrete Services. We specialize in driveways and patios. You can call me at 586-822-9985.
Do you find yourself at a point in life where you just can't seem to accomplish what you have set out to do? Have you accepted low energy, weight gain, and feeling overwhelmed as a part of your life? The ancient Ayurvedic method of well-being, combined with proven scientific methods of change, will make you feel energetic, focused, and fit. Hi, I'm Lisa Cohn, and I learned how to feel better close to 10 years ago. If you are ready to help yourself, you can count on me to be there for you in a simple approach to guide you to success. The holistic traditions of Ayurveda will show you how to prevent illness and strengthen your health with natural, simple lifestyle habits. You will feel empowered to manage not just your health, but also your life. Call me, Lisa Cohn, certified Ayurvedic health practitioner and health coach, at 248-613-1804, 613-1804, and visit my website at lisacohnayurveda.com.
Shul Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We want to welcome Lisa Cohn, who is a diet coach and other things, will help get you feeling the best you could possibly be. Go visit Lisa Cohn today. Give her a call. We have next, this is some music. We said that we'll be playing music today that just shows that you can do anything to certain pieces of liturgy. The next one's Halacha Doidi, which is sung on Friday night. And the tune is Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen, and this is the Maccabees. So let's just listen in.
Oh, Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Do you know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile. Hey, you're listening to The Jewish Hour. This week, we read the portion of Devarim, which can be found at the beginning, the very onset, the commencement of the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 1:1 and following. Doesn't get any beginninger than that. The first word of the book of Deuteronomy, the first word of the portion, is Elah. These. Of course, Eilu Devarim Asher Diber Moshe. These are the words that Moshe spoke. The word "these" indicates a certain solemnity, a seriousness. Not Keilu, not like this, or something like, or, you know, Moses kind of was sitting there kind of having a chat. No. When it says, these are the words, we're supposed to look at these words, not just the book of Deuteronomy, not just the portion of the week of Devarim, and not just the book of Deuteronomy, and not just even the five books of Moses, but the entire Torah, which encompasses the 24 books of the Bible and all of the books of the Oral Torah, which have been written down, which in the Bar Ilan Library, I think, is 110,000 volumes at this point. We're supposed to look at it as a new thing. How are we supposed to look at it new? Well, I'm reading this as the same Dvarim I read 35 years ago. We have a repeat. You know, I get upset every time that Eve eats the apple. You know, why'd she do it again this year? She did it last year. You know, shouldn't she learn last year not to do it again this year? But it's exactly the same. But it's not the same. Every single night we go to sleep and we wake up, we say, it's a new day. And every day poses new challenges. This isn't Groundhog Day we're living through over here. We're going and growing and progressing, and the world is moving. And so when we go to look at the Torah, this is an amazing thing. We're to look at it as something brand spanking new. Because for us today, it is. We say in our prayers every single day, HaMechadish V'chol Yom Tuva Maisa Breshis. God makes new the creation every single day. Today is not yesterday. You may live in a house that looked like the house you lived in yesterday, but God created it new today. And the Torah that we're learning today, it may look like something you're just reviewing, but it's brand new. And we have to give it that attention that it requires. Speaking of attention, we got to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. We got the Hasidic story coming up. You want to hear it? Don't go away. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Are you looking for a dentist that can meet all your family's needs? Dr. Gary Cohen is a dentist that's been serving the community for 20 years. Bleaching, veneers, crowns, dentures, bridges, checkups, extractions, everything. He does it all.
Dr. Cohen will see emergencies immediately and same-day appointments always available. Dr. Cohen wants dental care to be affordable. He has interest-free payment plans and takes most dental insurances, including Medicaid, for children. Dr. Gary Cohen provides the highest quality care with the gentlest touch in a relaxing setting. How do I know? Gary Cohen's my dentist. Call Gary Cohen today for a free consultation and smile that shines at 734-422-5480. That's 734-422-5480.
Hi, this is Specs Howard from the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for the Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Before we go into our closing spiel, I want to welcome Dr. Gary Cohen. Let me just tell you about Dr. Cohen really quick. My mother-in-law of blessed memory went to Dr. Cohen with a tooth problem, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago. And she came back. My wife took her. She said, I wish that we had Dr. Cohen in Philadelphia. I would definitely go to him. This is, you can't, let's, I go to him myself. My kids all were raised with Dr. Cohen. They don't know any other dentist. My kids, when they come to town, they say, first thing they say is, make me an appointment to go see Dr. Cohen. I haven't seen a dentist. So Dr. Cohen, yes, he's in Garden City on Cherry Hill Road, one short block west of Inkster. Very easy to get to. It takes me 20 minutes to get there from Oak Park. Definitely worth the drive. It's your teeth, your mouth. Take care of your teeth, and your teeth will take care of you. Dr. Gary Cohen. Anyway, you want to get in touch with me? RabbiFinman.com, the easiest, best way to do it. RabbiFinman.com. You have there the contact page. You contact me, I'll contact you. We have archived editions of the show. You can hear the last five shows that we've done. The last five shows, in my opinion, have all been A+. Some shows between you and me, okay, I'd say they're only like an A, but the last five have been A+. If you hadn't heard them, you're missing one of them, go back and listen. No problem. It's right there on RabbiFinman.com. You also have archived editions of the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, and Hasidic U-Story, which are text insights and into the portion of the week, and a Hasidic story, and also the U-Parsha and U-Hasidic story are stories and insights into the portion of yours truly on the YouTube. And we also have the very important donation page. It's the end of July. We haven't paid our bills yet, folks, just to let you know. I don't want to come crying. I know it's a tough month. You know, everybody's out partying. It's the summertime. But you're listening to the Jewish Hour, so go to the computer today. Go to the donations page. Click on the number of your choice and do it today. If you don't like doing it that way, you want to send a check or money order to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. You'll be glad you did. The portion involves a man in Poland. The Polish government in the 1850s was very anti-Semitic, and they demanded high taxes. And they would come and they would take people's possessions in lieu of taxes. So they walked into this tailor's house, and this tailor had a sewing machine which was covered with a cloth which had the Polish eagle on it, the symbol. And it fell on the floor, and the guy stepped on it, and the policeman immediately arrested him for defacing the flag. They went off to the Belzer Rebbe. These guys in press, his family said, give this man, tell him that he should take one match in a matchbox to the court, and everything will work its way out. The court case came, and the prosecutor was droning on and on and on and on what a horrible person this was for defacing the Polish glory. And the judge was getting bored, and he took out a cigarette, and he's looking for a match. This defendant jumped up immediately with his one match in a matchbox, hands him the matchbox. The judge lights the match and takes the matchbox and throws it into the trash. The matchbox had the Polish symbol on it. And the lawyer immediately jumped up and said, Your Honor, there's been a defacing of the Polish symbol right here in the court by you. You threw away the matchbox. The judge kind of turned red, and they dismissed the case. Not to dismiss you so lightly, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you had. You hope you have a good week. And we hope to see you again, back again next week. Take care. Amida Senu Dali.